I don't believe there's anything I'm going to say that's going to be more powerful than that minute that we just did. I think that, to me, that is higher power. Like, that ability to sit in silence. There's a quote that says, all men's problems come from their inability to sit alone in a chair. Like, you know it, right? You're nodding your head. You probably know it better than I do. The inability to sit in a room by yourself, in a chair, in a room by yourself alone. What is it, Rose?
It's that.
It's that, right? Okay, yeah. But basically, like, the inability to just be with yourself, to sit alone with yourself in a room. And that, I just think that's it. Like, this entire addiction stems from my inability to tolerate certain feelings. And when it started, it was an inability. So I've been in this program for about 10 years. That doesn't mean that I have continuous sloth sobriety for 10 years. I'm also sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's an easy thing to see. Like, I put down the drugs or the alcohol, I don't pick them up again. It's easy to see whether or not I'm sober. This has become this really nuanced thing, because it has to do with, like, everything about how I operate in the world and how I'm in relationship to people and how I'm in relationship to myself. I've had several withdrawals in this program. I just recently got a new sponsor, started working the steps again, and I'm really humbled, because I've been in this program for almost 10 years, and I say I'm a sex and love addict, but I always just sort of identified with being the love addict. And I always was like, I'm not really a sex addict, because I don't have that much sex. And what I've learned is that it doesn't have to do with the amount. It has to do with how I sexualize things. And I sexualize everything. And man, I'm just so fucking humbled, you guys. Like, this thing is gnarly. This thing is painful. This thing sucks. And it's also the thing that breaks me open and is allowing me to practice genuine unconditional surrender. And when I take my will back to see it more clearly. There's something in the first step that talks about the disease convinces us that it is what we want. It's not even that it's the person or the whatever it is, the object of the desire. It's that the disease tricks me into thinking that I want it. And God, I think that is so fucked up and so accurate. I'm a slave to this addiction. And what happens when I'm in the addiction is my mind tells me this is what I want. Tells me this is what I want. And there's this tiny part, this sliver of light, I think it's my heart, that says, no, there's something else. There's something else. And then the more that I connect to that part, the more that I step back into the freedom to choose. And to me, that's really the relief and the release of the addiction, is having the power of choice. When I'm in my addiction, I don't have the power of choice. And I'm trying to control and manage everything. And every choice that I'm making is the right or the wrong choice. And is going to line things up or make everything fall apart. It's such a mental game. And what I've learned about recovery is it's so not about being in my head. It's so about being, like, with you guys right now and sitting here and feeling like that desire to want to connect and that fear of wanting to connect and that wanting to say so much so that you get it or you like me or whatever, but not wanting to say too much so that I don't push you away and all these things, right? But if I'm in the addiction, then I'm trying to figure that out from my head. And if I'm in recovery, and the way that I define recovery now is very different. It used to be very black and white. Very, very black and white. And the way I define recovery now is, you know, am I making more sober choices than not? In my day, am I leaning more into sobriety? Am I trusting God more? Because for me, this is a process. For me, this is a relationship that happens over time. And any of that stuff, like, takes time. And it takes a tremendous amount of willingness to be honest with myself about what I'm doing, to admit what works and what doesn't, to admit that to another person, and to be really compassionate with myself. I did not discover true compassion until I really came into this program and really started working the steps in this program a while ago and now again. Because this disease is gnarly. And I'll get a few weeks of, like, I mean, I'm off all bottom lines, but for a long time I was in middle line behavior and not realizing that middle line is still feeding the addiction. And what happens is I'll get so close to somebody, and I'm not even talking like sexual, like intimate, like a brother, like so intimate and so emotionally intimate, and like deal with conflict in a healthy way, or really deal with like really good loving feelings, or I'll get to a place where I'm so not in my head that I'm really, really in my heart, and it freaks me the fuck out. It scares me so bad. That relationship to God, that relationship to truly being not in control, that relationship to truly being present to something that is so beyond anything that I fucking understand or will ever understand while I am here. It scares me so much that I end up going back to some sort of old coping skill. Thank you so much. I end up going back to some sort of old coping skill, some kind of intrigue, some kind of reaching out to something or someone that's not going to be able to really be there to meet the need in an authentic way, in a healthy way, in a loving way. I go back to, look, I don't hold grudges any longer. I've worked the steps. I've done this shit. Like, my parents did the best they could. The way I was raised was insane. And what I learned was, run from all women and find men who can fucking help. And like, that's a fucked up way to live as an adult, because that's not, you guys aren't my mom and my dad. And what I've come to discover is that they were way crazier than most of the people that I meet and get to know in my life. Which is really weird and confusing too, because you're like, if you can't trust the people that you should be able to trust the most when you're little, how am I supposed to trust like you guys? That, you know, like, so it's been a weird learning curve, but this thing of like, I got lost. I don't got it. When I think I got it, I'm fucked. I have to humble myself to this thing all the time, because what happens is that I get connected to my heart. I get connected into a place of deeper intimacy, and I want to go back to the feelings that I had as a kid. So I look for somebody to try to recreate that shit. I look for unavailability because it's familiar. But the problem is that it puts me back in my head, which I hate. And then I have to get back into the surrender again. So I have to develop a relationship that is built in compassion for this thing, because this is being human. And the reason that I have to have a God and I have to have a higher power is because I'm human. It's not, thank you so much, it's not the absence of human. It's not getting away from the humanity. It's not about becoming perfect or becoming God-like myself. It's about admitting that I am this, you know, flawed, inconsistent, desiring, avoidant, love, all these things that I am completely, and having a higher power that loves me for all of that, and having that relationship with that so that I don't have to deny any of it. I'll end with this. I've gotten into some traditional Indian practices, and there's a there's a saying in Lakota that is unshimalayo, unshimalayo, which means have pity on me. And it's not from a place of like, oh, I'm such a, like, worth. It's like, I'm this human being that's doing the best I can on this planet at this moment, like grandfather, grandmother, you know, ancestors, great mystery, great spirit, have pity on me, because I'm just this human being who's trying to fucking walk on this planet the best that I can, as honestly and as much from my heart as I can. So thank you guys so much for being here and being a part of my recovery.